Good afternoon, I'm Jason Parrott, and this is Emphasis. Joining us this afternoon is Steve Freevert, who is the Director of Downtown Partners in Burlington. Steve, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
This afternoon, what we want to talk about, May is Historic Preservation Month, and a lot is going on in Burlington in regards to historic preservation, and you are very involved in a lot of those efforts. So we want to look at what historic preservation is, and for people that may hear the term but not be as familiar with it, how would you define what historic preservation is?
You know, I think it's a recognition of the historic assets that a community has, whether those are buildings or landscapes or archaeological resources. Historic preservation really encompasses all three.
How did you personally get involved with your work with Downtown Partners and other organizations that we'll get into that you're involved with? But you personally, how did you get into the idea of historic preservation?
I went to college in Beloit, Wisconsin, which is a town sort of similar to Burlington in size and age. And when I went to college there, I lived in an 1889 Queen Anne Victorian for 3 years. It was my first experience with old house living, and I loved it. I love living in a historic district. It's been a passion of mine ever since, and I've been lucky enough to turn it into a vocation as well.
And what is involved here in Burlington? There's also a couple of organizations and efforts going on, but for you, what is your involvement in historic preservation here in Burlington?
Actually, I have several different ways in which I'm involved. Through my job as Executive Director of Downtown Partners, this is Burlington's Main Street program, and Main Street is designed by the National Trust for Historic Preservation as a way of revitalizing downtowns through historic preservation. So that's my professional involvement. I'm also involved as chair of the City of Burlington's Historic Preservation Commission, which is appointed by the City Council to oversee locally designated properties in the city. I'm also on the board of the Heritage Trust, which is Burlington's nonprofit volunteer historic preservation organization.
Looking first at your city involvement, I believe, is there an effort underway to create maybe a new district or a new historic preservation area? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, we've been fortunate enough as a Preservation Commission to receive several certified local government grants. The first one we received about 2 years ago was to survey, do an intensive survey of what's normally called the warehouse district in downtown, sort of the south end of downtown, a lot of large old industrial buildings. First we did a survey, then we got a grant to actually nominate that district to the National Register of Historic Places as the manufacturing and wholesale historic district, and that will be placed on the National Register, we hope, sometime within the next month or so.
What does that mean to have that designated? I mean, why was it a push to do that?
Really, it's an area that we've recognized for a long time that has a special sense of place. You know, these large 4 or 5 story brick buildings, heavily industrial area, and largely intact. That was one way we wanted to recognize that this was a special place. But we've also seen some interest in rehabbing and reusing some of these buildings. By being on the National Register for Historic Places, these buildings become eligible for substantial historic rehab tax credits, which can make a rehabilitation possible.
And why is that? Why is it I hear so much about getting these tax credits as the key to further development? Why are they so crucial?
In Iowa, they can equal 25% state historic rehab tax credit on top of a 20% federal historic rehab tax credit. So for a qualified rehab expenditure, the tax credits can equal 45% of a project cost. So that's really substantial. It can make the difference between getting a project done and having it not be economically feasible.
If you're utilizing tax credits like this, I've heard some say that maybe a challenge is trying to meet certain codes, guidelines. Are there specific guidelines that if a building is in a district that you have to meet?
If it's on the National Register and it's receiving either grants or tax credits, it needs to meet the standard of the Secretary of the Interior standards for rehabilitation. Like anything else, if the state or the federal government is essentially giving project money, it needs to have a say in how that money is spent. So if tax credits or grants are attached to a project, yes, it has to adhere to preservation standard.
Are there any current things that kind of switching hats for you that Downtown Partners is working on that would be a clear example for people in Burlington of historic preservation efforts?
We have a number of things going on. Of course, the Capitol Theater restoration is nearly complete. That will be opening on June 1st. That's a project that used historic preservation tax credits. The Methodist Church, First United Methodist Church on Washington Street, burned down just over 5 years ago. The restoration and rehabilitation of that facility, along with the adjacent Besh building, is nearly complete. I think it'll be finished sometime this summer. Another project that is using tax credits and adhering to those preservation standards. And we have a lot of other projects, too. A condominium project at 4th and Valley, some projects that are using tax credits further down on Jefferson Street. So we're seeing a real boom in growth because of historic preservation tax credits and grant possibilities.
Some of our listeners are going to be familiar. We followed along with the Capitol Theater here. What are some examples inside that project, kind of taking us inside the building, that show the historic preservation side of that project? Because this is going to be a spectacular building when it's done, but there you're maintaining that historic accuracy for it.
Yeah, and that's really what preservation is about, especially when tax credits or grants are attached to it. It's about keeping the historic fabric that's already there. If it's gone, they're not necessarily looking for you to replace it. So it's not about pretending something's there if it's been removed, but it's about preserving what we have. So inside the Capitol Theater, a lot of the acoustic tile on the walls was damaged. Where it was damaged, it was removed and replicated and put back in the original patterns. The original paint colors were researched and used on the interior. We were fortunate enough to have the original blueprints, so we know what the ticket booth and the concession booth and things like that look like. So it's a pretty faithful recreation of the 1937 theater.
There are so many projects you mentioned that's going on with the city and the district and then the downtown partners, but you also mentioned the Heritage Trust. I mean, with all that going on, what is that group finding around town to work on?
Well, the Heritage Trust, as Burlington's volunteer nonprofit historic preservation organization, is able to be involved in things throughout the city, whether it's residential, commercial. It doesn't have to be just downtown. Some of the things that we've done recently, we pledged $15,000 over 3 years to the First United Methodist Church Project for restoration of their damaged stained glass windows. Heritage Trust also pledged $25,000 over 5 years to the Capitol Theater for its restoration. We were just awarded a Main Street, Iowa Best Facade Improvement honor last Friday at the Main Street Awards in Des Moines for Preservation Station, which is our architectural salvage shop at 213 Valley. And the group is looking very closely at what the fate of Cascade Bridge is going to be as well.
And that's one of the topics I was really wanting to get into is Cascade Bridge. This is a project that you have some that just want to see it fully replaced. Others want to come in and have it be restored. And some may even just want to have it completely gone. It ranges and such. From a historic preservation angle, what are the options that you guys are looking at?
Well, I happen to live on Main Street, and so I definitely want to see a bridge there because it's a roundabout way to get to Crapo and Dankwart Parks otherwise. Several years ago, when this issue first came up, the Heritage Trust and the Historic Preservation Commission, as well as the Des Moines County Historical Society, wrote a letter and an agreement kind of pressing the city to look at the options, repair versus replace. To that point, the city had really talked about just replacing the bridge. And these three groups said, you know, at least take a look at what it's going to cost to fix it. For whatever reason, that really wasn't done. And now I think that's coming back to haunt the city to a certain extent. Because the city plans to get federal money for this bridge replacement, and because the bridge is on the National Register of Historic Places, it has to undergo review if they're going to use federal money to alter or destroy a project, a structure on the National Register. And for whatever reason, that kind of slipped by them. So now the city is having to backtrack and hire a consulting firm that will take a look at what it would cost to repair that bridge, take care of whatever structural issues it has, and engineer some redundancy into it. So if you know, it's up to modern standards, but still a historic bridge. And all along, I think these groups have said, we're not necessarily saying restore Cascade Bridge at any price, but at least find out what that price is. You know, the figure that's thrown out there for a new bridge is around $4 million. Well, if it costs $2 or $3 million to fix it, that's obviously the way to go.
Have the methods for historic preservation changed, maybe focusing on certain items, windows versus walls versus interior? Have the methods that are used in historic preservation changed over the years?
Not really. I think the name Standards for Historic Rehabilitation kind of says it. These are standards that really don't change much. Preserving historic windows, historic fabric, brick exteriors, wood exteriors, plaster finishes inside, things like that. Certainly some of the technology in restoring these has changed, which is a great benefit. The opposite of that is with new technologies, people want to try new things that aren't necessarily the best for long-term viability for a building.
Say building X is sitting on a lot. It's a historic building, and the owner says, you know what, if I took this down, I've got a lot of space here. I could put up something brand new. What would be your pitch to say, maybe you should consider looking at using this building? How do you make that pitch?
The initial pitch always has to be economic, and for somebody to pay to have a building torn down, to pay to have it hauled to the landfill, and of course then it's taking up landfill space, we're losing the embodied energy in that building, all the energy and the financial wherewithal that it took to build that structure, maintain it over the years. You're just throwing it out and starting from scratch. Certainly it's not a great use of natural or economic resources. And then when you look at the possibility of getting historic rehab tax credits and possibly grants to restore, rehab, and maintain a building and retain its economic use, I think it makes perfect sense. It would be a shame to lose a building that still has some life left in it.
What are the biggest challenges facing a historic preservation project? I mean, what are the challenges that you found in your experience, other organizations have found that can make it tough to do?
There's a lot of misconceptions out there. I think when people think about being on the historic register, they think, oh my gosh, they're going to make me restore my building, or they're going to tell me what color I can paint, or they're going to tell me I can't redo my kitchen. And none of those things are true, but those are pretty common misperceptions. And groups like the Heritage Trust and the Preservation Commission and commissions all over the state and country really need to get that word out. It's about education and letting people know not only are these things not what historic preservation about, but here are some benefits to historic preservation as well. National Register districts usually retain their property values and see them rise at a quicker pace than neighborhoods that aren't on the National Register. So again, economics is a really big part of it.
There was a resolution through the Burlington City Council mentioning and representing Historic Preservation Month in Iowa, just bringing that to the forefront. Any other projects, any other things that you guys will try to do this month to really just raise awareness?
Yeah, one of them actually the city's Historic Preservation Commission is going to be doing is on Sunday, May 20th at 2 o'clock, we're going to do a free walking tour of the West Jefferson National Register District. We're going to start at 400 Jefferson, take about 3-block walk down and back to discuss the history of the buildings and the architecture, and we're going to actually end in the Central Fire Station, a city-owned building built about 1907 that was restored earlier in this decade, or last decade, and actually has a small fighting museum inside it that a lot of people probably aren't aware of. So it'll be a good example for people to see some projects that have both been completed, some potential projects. We just want to raise awareness of really the architectural richness we have here in Burlington.
Well, as I look at my clock, I believe we are out of time. Steve, thank you for joining us this afternoon.
It was a pleasure.
That was Steve Frevert. He is the Director for Downtown Partners in Burlington. For Tri-States Public Radio News, I'm Jason Parrott.